Hello,
and welcome to Love Girls, the podcast where every girl has a story. I'm Jasmine Babers.
And I am Michaela Hughes Shaw, and this right here is our Fearless episode. Today, we are talking all about courage. So I'm going to ask you, our listeners, what would you do if you were not afraid? And then I'm going to ask you, Jasmine, what would you do if you were not afraid?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question. I feel like I would trust my talents a lot more, you know? I feel like I am really good at preparing myself, and I feel like I'm really good at identifying my strengths. But I think that I let fear get in the way a lot of times, where I'm not able to follow through on everything that I want to follow through on. So if I wasn't afraid, I feel like I would let my talents really shine, you know? Yeah. What would you do if you weren't afraid?
That's a beautiful answer, first of all. I would do the exact same thing. I have imposter syndrome like no other, and I have no idea why, because I know that I'm more than capable. I know that I'm worthy, and I preach it to everybody that I meet, that you're capable and you're worthy. But there are so many times where I get stuck in this rut of, oh gosh, what if they don't think that I'm good enough for this position? Or what if I don't perform as well as I could? And am I good enough to be in this space in this time? So I would trust myself a whole lot more as well, because we are awesome and we need to continue to tell ourselves that, I think every single day, because we can wake up one day and feel like we're on top of the world and the next day be like, how in the world did I even get here? But right. Just making sure that we're using positive self-talk is so, so important.
So important. And, you know, fear can actually be kind of a good thing sometimes. You know, it's our body's way of protecting us from danger. But when does fear stop protecting us and it starts holding us back? You know, there are many things women and girls are afraid of. They might be afraid of walking down a dark street alone, and they might be afraid to speak up about the things that they believe in. They might be afraid to do something that others could criticize, right?
Yeah.
There's lots of examples. And recently, women have been kind of dragged in social media for their work and their opinion, or even their clothes. It happens too often, in all honesty.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And to talk a little bit more about this today and joining our conversation is Candace Dobie. And she recently wrote a book titled If Courage Could Talk. And it's to help young women check their fear and to do their thing. So welcome, Candace, to the conversation. We're so happy to have you today.
Yay. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Ooh, well, we love that you're here too. And so your book has a lot of graphics, which makes it really easy to read. And it's also full of really, really great quotes. A few that stood out to me is that fear is a caution. Please stop treating it like a conclusion. And another one was, if fear was a student, it would major in your problems, not your possibilities.
That's right.
And I was struck by those. Where do you find these amazing little nuggets of inspiration, and how did you decide on which ones to include in your final product?
That is a great question. The book has 100, I like to say, keep it real quotes within it. And just to give you a little bit of background about the book, I am a youth and young adult speaker. So I speak to young women all across the country at universities and in high schools, youth organizations, about acting courageously. And one of the things that I noticed is that, y'all, courage is, it's not a sexy topic. You know, it's not something that is just really easy to talk about. If you look at some of the, you know, music stars out here, some of the celebrities, I think it's much easier to want to be fierce, or even want to be fearless, which is a little different than courage. And so really getting into the conversation of courage, I found that there needed to be something that was something that gave me an entry point, or something that gave the folks that I was talking to an entry point into this conversation. And so If Courage Could Talk really is a book that gives courage a voice. You know, I think all of us are familiar with the voice of fear in our head, and you all were just talking about, you know, if you didn't have any fear, what would you do? And I think fear is a voice that we're all familiar with. But, you know, the question that I really wanted to ask myself and, you know, ask my audience members was, but if courage had a voice, You know, would you be more prone to listen to it? And so I wanted to give courage a voice. And the voice in the book, as you probably noticed, Michaela, is it's a little bit sassy. It's a little bit straightforward and keep it real. So it's you know, it's not going to necessarily coddle you with peaches and cream, put peaches and cream on everything. It's just going to get to the point because, you know, there are all kinds of things that we should be and can do out here, you know, use our talents as you've talked about. And so giving courage a voice that's kind of like your big sister and a little bit, you know, sassy or shady is what I was trying to do. So I wrote about 400 quotes for the book. And that was just, you know, in the ideation process, you have an idea. And, you know, not everything, some of the quotes that I thought of fell flat, you know, and so the quotes in the book, I wanted them to be thought provoking and I wanted them to be a little snappy. And so not everything I wrote was that. So I had to end up writing about 400 of them to pick 100 that I thought were worthy of being in the book. So that's how it happened.
I feel like that process, did it get frustrating after a while of writing quote after quote after quote, and like some of them stuck, but you know, like some of them fell flat. Was that discouraging ever?
Completely. Completely discouraging. You know, I think in any creative pursuit, there are a range of emotions that are felt, you know, from being excited at the very beginning, to thinking, you know, it's the greatest idea, and then really getting into the work of an idea and realizing that, you know, things are not going to be as easy as you thought, or quotes are not going to come as easily to your mind as you thought they would. So frustration and defeat, you know, feeling defeated, those were definitely two things that I felt.
Wow. Yeah, it really resonated with me when you were talking about like that moment where you're like, you're so inspired, and then all of a sudden you realize that, you know, it might not be as easy as you thought it was going to be. And I feel like that's a moment that I can relate to. And then that fear and that self-doubt starts creeping in a little bit.
Absolutely.
And that's where I feel like courage needs to come through.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, the voice of fear that all of us are familiar with, and everybody has a different voice. You know, mine is pretty annoying. It's overbearing. You know, it sounds like, you know, my 80-year-old auntie who's just standing over my shoulder, getting on my nerves. And so, you know, everybody has their own kind of characterization of fear, but, you know, there are probably some common qualities that we all have, and that it's just, you know, overprotective and can keep us from doing the things that we really want to do. And so we're very familiar with that because it's been a voice that's been played over in our heads, you know, thousands of times. And so I wanted to explore, well, what would it be like if courage had a voice? You know, if we gave courage a voice that we can relate to and can be familiar to kind of counter that voice of fear that all of us are really familiar with. And so, it, you know, it's something that I hope the book will introduce and be a fun introduction to people who read it to really help them think about, well, you know what? I know my fear has a voice, but what would it sound like and what would it feel like, you know, if I really gave my courage a voice? And so that's really the question that I hope people walk away thinking. It's like, well, what does my courage sound like in my head? You know?
Yeah.
It sounds like a friend that we don't want to listen to all the time because they keep it too real.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like.
That's absolutely right. And so you're right. Courage is going to tell you, If fear was a student, it would absolutely major in your problems and not your possibilities. And that is completely true. Fear is there to remind us of everything that can go wrong. And, you know, the function of fear is to keep us safe. It does serve a purpose, which is to keep us safe from harm. But the unfortunate thing about fear is that it doesn't know how to distinguish between our problems and our possibilities. So what happens is it ends up blocking us from everything. And so while it's trying to keep us safe and keep us away from our problems, it also is keeping us away from our possibilities. And so that's a very, you know, I've just said that in like 3 or 4 or 5 sentences. But what I wanted to do with people reading the book is, how do I get it in a quick little nugget for people to take away? And that is, you know, if fear was a student, it would major in your problems, not your possibilities. So.
Mm-hmm. When I think about girls and courage, I think a lot about middle school. And middle school was rough, especially for me. You know, research has proven that this is when confidence drops for girls. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm talking about courage, I can't help but think about Diamond. She was one of the first young writers for Love Girls magazine, and her story was so powerful because she spoke the words of her tormentors.
I am that girl who sat alone and soundless in the corner. I was afraid to tell my story because my name was spit on by my peers. It didn't matter how far away I got from my enemies. They were always there, lurking behind me like shadows, calling me names like Dirty Diamond. They would even laugh and ask me what kind of soap I used. Sometimes, when they would walk past, they would grab my hair and jerk it. They picked at me like crows pecked at dead animals. I never thought about killing myself. Instead, I got more open and embraced myself. I learned that my life was more valuable than what few people thought of me. I learned that if I have support, I can tear down the walls that keep me inside of my corner. If I could write a letter to my 15-year-old self, I would say, be prepared for your next 2 years. It is where your journey to creativity begins. One day, your words will be important. You'll write for a magazine called Love Girls, where young girls will read about overcoming your struggles. And they would know that they are not alone. Now, I signed it. Remember, diamonds are made under pressure.
When she said they called her Dirty Diamond, that broke my heart. And she spoke at the LGM event a few years ago, and the room was actually in tears. Mm-hmm. But the most powerful thing about her story was the overcoming that she went through. And she got through that tough time, and she told her story, no shame. And, you know, that's hard to do. And now her motto is, diamonds are made under pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. beautiful.
We love diamonds.
That is absolutely beautiful, and it's absolutely true. I agree that middle school is a very tough period. You know, there's a lot of transition going on socially. There's a lot of transition going on biologically, mentally, physically. Mm-hmm. And so it is a particularly tough time, I think, for girls. Your bodies are changing. You know, the most important thing to you is to be socially accepted. And so I can only imagine for Diamond, when that wasn't the case, what she might have experienced and gone through. But absolutely, when you can call upon your internal resources, and I don't know all of Diamond's story, but I imagine that what she was able to do is really dig into herself and recognize what her internal resources were to get over or overcome, you know, this negative space that she found herself in. And so that's what all of us, that's what the call is for really all of us to do, is to remember, you know, what our purpose is, what our values are, you know, and reminding ourselves mm-hmm. of those things can help us, you know, just stay focused in negative spaces. But I also think, you know, reminding ourselves of our abilities and our skills. And so if Diamond was to remember other circumstances where she was able to overcome, you know, something similar, then she might remember that to give her confidence that she can get over her middle school experiences. And then I think when we're able to build our skill and our ability, then we're able to build our confidence. And so those, I know, are three internal resources that I focus on when I speak about courage, but it's incredibly important to, you know, remember our values, remember, you know, what our motivations are to get through some of the tough times that we experience.
I really love what you just said about recognizing our abilities and holding on to that and helping that push us instead of our fears. And speaking of fears, I have been pretty afraid of my next steps in life because I'm in this transitional period of graduating from college in May, and I have a fellowship lined up. But then after that, I'm like, well, what's coming next? And I'm always somebody who has a plan, and that plan usually goes exactly how I want it to go, but I know I don't have that much control. And so I'm I'm definitely going to take your advice and try to lead with my abilities and my morals and what I am good at instead of letting that fear stop me from applying to that job that I might not get, but at least I'm getting myself out there. And just I'm going to keep carrying that. So thank you. That just resonated with me on a whole nother level.
Oh, that's fantastic. And congratulations to you. That's a huge step into leaving college and kind of thrusting yourself out in the world beyond college. And what I would say too is one thing that's really important as you enter the unknown, because that's exactly what's about to happen, is that you just yes. remember as you every day, you know, when you're faced with the unknown or not having control, it's just remember your ability, the ability and skills you have to figure it out. You know, because I know that probably within your young adulthood, within your college experience, within your high school experience, there were a lot of times when you were probably in the unknown and you had to figure out how to get through that or to navigate through a space that you were unfamiliar with. And so if you can recall all, you know, all of the times or many of the times when you were able to flex your ability to figure it out, then I think, you know, you probably will raise your confidence level without even really knowing it, but raise your confidence level for what you're about to experience next. But I think you got it, Michaela. I think you got it.
Thank you. I need every little ounce of encouragement that I can get. Thank you so much.
I think that it feels really comforting to think that, you know, we already possess everything that we need. We have all the resources yes. that we need in order to make it through. That is really, really super comforting.
Yes.
I'm really interested, Candace, in learning how writing this book changed your idea of courage.
Oh, goodness. Wow. It helped me really understand what courage is about. This is probably the hardest thing that I've done
yeah.
Is writing this book. And there are a lot of cool things that I've been able to do. But writing this book was probably the hardest because, you know, double majoring when I was in school or getting my master's degree when I was working full time or even traveling around the world by myself as a Black woman. Like those things are pretty those things were pretty difficult and definitely helped me learn about courage. But when you are doing something and it's a really creative pursuit, when you are engaging or embarking on a creative pursuit and you are putting something together for you don't know how many people to judge, you know, everything, you know, that I can think about right now, there's always been a small set of people who could judge you, right? Or a very controlled kind of amount of people who can judge you. But when you write something like a book or you know, make a video and you put it on the internet for everybody to see, when you're engaging in a creative pursuit, it just opens you up to judgment and retaliation and ridicule and rejection and isolation and all of the things. And so this projects really gave me an opportunity to see the fullness of what courage is and to practice it fully. And that's why, you know, I like to make the distinction between courage and fearlessness, because with courage, there usually is a great amount of fear. There's a great amount of fear to fail, to be rejected, to be deserted, to be isolated. You know, there's usually a big hump that you have to get over, or that is a considerable risk in front of you. And so courage is really making a choice to face that risk for a worthy purpose. And so with any courageous pursuit, a worthy purpose is at the heart of it. And for me, this was a truly worthy purpose, you know, and the purpose was really to give people a tool to make the introduction or the intro conversation to courage really fun and digestible and something that was approachable. And so that really was my purpose, you know, to give people a tool that would work for them to be this introduction to courage. And so a lot of times what I find when I talk to people who are unable to act courageously, what they are missing usually is a worthy purpose, a very clearly defined worthy purpose. And so that worthy purpose could be, you know, I really want to just understand and you know, have a say about how I show up in the world, or I really want to activate my potential and really kind of see the person that I can become. You know, those are worthy purposes. But without a clearly defined purpose, it's really hard to face the risk that, you know, I just mentioned, those really big, tall risks of rejection and ridicule and failure. The thing with fearlessness, now, I do think that we can achieve fearlessness, but it's a really hard thing to achieve because there are two main ways to get to fearlessness that I like to, you know, talk about. The two main ways to get to fearlessness is, one, you are being rash. So you're making a very quick decision and you're not giving yourself, you don't have all of the information that you really should have to be able to evaluate and make an informed decision. And so without that information, you have no fear because, you know, you really don't have, you're not considering everything that you should be considering. So that's really acting rashly. That's one way to be fearless. The other way is through mastery. And that's really where you've done something so long and you've done it so repeatedly that you basically managed your fear to zero. So those really are two main ways to reach fearlessness. Courage is what's in the middle. Most of us have fear. And so courage is really that thing that's in the middle that says, I have a clearly defined purpose and I'm going to choose to face these risks and the fear that comes with it because of my purpose.
Mind is blown over here. I've never dissected those two like that, and that just really put things into perspective. I really did. Candace, I want to ask you about material things and money and clothes and makeup. Do you think that they have a positive impact on courage? And where is that line and how do we navigate it?
That is a great question. I think it's interesting. It depends what these things and what you want these things to do for you or how you're kind of interpreting them or using them. So if money is your pursuit and if it's your main pursuit and it's your only pursuit, then that's something that would not be considered an internal motivation. An internal motivation is the thing that really is going to help you to activate courage if you're doing it for yourself. If you're doing things for external, you know, reasons, if you're doing something solely for money, if you're doing something solely for attention, if you're doing something solely for the spotlight, you know, those are things that are not going to be strong enough to help you get through all of the risk that could come from doing a thing. So if you're putting yourself out there in the world and you know, inviting challenges and risks, if you're doing something for money only or attention, you're trying to impress your friends, you're trying to impress a boy, you're trying to impress, you know, somebody, those things are not going to be enough to get you through all of the heartache that can come from tension and risk and challenges. And so I think if that is a primary motivator for people, what you will quickly find is that it is weak. It is not strong enough to carry you through a lot of the risks that you may face doing, you know, doing whatever it is that you want to do.
Right. I'm curious about courage as it differs from generation to generation. My mom is actually in the room sitting next to me, and we saw Harriet together, which is, you know, the movie about Harriet Tubman and her journey. And I watched that movie and I also listened to the stories that my mom tells about growing up and the things that she had to face and overcome. And then I think about the things that I face on a daily basis and the things that I have to overcome on a daily basis. And, you know, those things differ,
right.
You know, sometimes on scale. And I'm curious to know what you think is different about courage in our generation that differs from our parents' generation.
Yeah, I think, you know, with our parents, there was definitely the courage to just, you know, take up space in places where they were not welcome. You know, mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of courage just to assert yourself and be yourself and again take up space. I think with our generation, there is a lot of courage that is needed to be yourself, to be whomever you are through and through, no matter what images you're getting through social media, through what media is telling you you're supposed to be, through what even your friends might be telling you, you know, you're supposed to be or who you're supposed to be. I think it's incredibly difficult, especially for girls right now, to be themselves because they get so many messages from different places. I mean, even parents, friends, media, even, you know, the economy. You're about to go and get a job after college and you have so many different employers telling you who you're supposed to be. And so I think it's incredibly important to be able to utilize courage or call upon courage to be yourself, to be yourself and stand in your uniqueness and your quirkiness or your queerness or whatever the thing about you is that might be different. It might be a little different from convention. You know, I think that's where I'm finding a lot of people wanting to be able to be courageous, and it's being courageous to be themselves.
So, Candace, I think one way that we can lead with courage in our lives is to reach out for help when we need it too. And I want to know, who are some of the people that you have looked up to, or who are some of the people that have been mentors to you on this journey? Not even just with writing the book, but just with getting to where you are today.
Yeah, you know, my biggest mentors have been probably the people closest to me. And I don't want to sound cliche, but truly, My mom and my dad have been instrumental in helping just shape and frame my thinking about what I'm able to do in the world, you know, and their support of me just being, you know, in the world and trying new things that might be risky or different from what other people are doing. So I definitely have to start with my mom and my dad. But as I look out into the world and as I look out, you know, in media, I'm incredibly motivated and inspired and admire Michelle Obama. I am incredibly yes. inspired by Beyonce and her work ethic and her, right? Her work ethic. And I think, yeah, I mean, right? We all love Beyonce. I mean, what's not to love? But I really do believe, I don't know her. I wish I did, but I do believe one of her values is excellence. And so I think it's mm-hmm. incredibly just great and beneficial to be able to see that through her work. I even will take it back old school. And one of the people that I admire is Nina Simone. And I really admire Nina Simone for what she did throughout her career. And she was a very, you know, famous, well-known, renowned singer and pianist. And she risked it all. She risked it all to stand up against social injustice and speak out against social injustice. And this, to me, is really courage in action and a very tangible, visible example of courage. You know, she had the world. Yeah. She had a career. She was traveling all across the world. She had fans. She had people who admired her. And she decided her worthy purpose was that she was going to stand up and speak out against racial injustice and social injustice. And the risk for her was that she could lose her career. She could polarize the people and the audiences who came to see her perform. But that was a risk that she decided to take because her purpose was so strong. And the thing about courage is that it does not guarantee success. We all, you know, should conjure courage because possibility and opportunity and freedom and all that stuff is on the other side of courage. But it does not guarantee success. And so in the case of Nina Simone, she actually did lose her career. she lost, you know, her fans because it was so polarizing. She lost even her mind. She started to, you know, really have mental illness come up and show up because of what she went through as a result of speaking up and standing up. So, it, you know, it's one of the clearest examples to me of how courage works. You know, it doesn't mean you're always going to win, but if you have a worthy purpose, your worthy purpose can absolutely get you through the risk that you may encounter, which is again why makeup and attention and, you know, all the external things are just not strong enough to carry you through the risk that you could face.
Absolutely. So first of all, thank you so, so much for joining us. We had a wonderful and amazing time. This was great. Yeah. This was, I'm using all the adjectives I can think of. Fantastic. So if, literally all of them. So if Courage Could Talk is available on Amazon and Candace is available to speak at your event as well. So check her out at CandaceDacey.com. And that is CandaceDacey.com. Candace, you get to have the last word today. And so I want to leave you with the question of how can you lead with love in your life?
I think leading with love starts with setting the intention to lead with love. Mm-hmm. And I think that starts when we wake up in the morning to set an intention to radiate and give love throughout the day, when we are met with obstacles, when we are met with people who spew negativity, when we are met with situations that we didn't even anticipate that may not be ideal. I think when we set our intention at the beginning of the day, when we wake up, that we are going to radiate and give off love, I think that is beautiful and can anchor us in love. And so I think of that because it's one of the things that I try to do. I try to wake up in the morning, set my intention to just give and radiate love. So I think with that intention, there is more love and could be more love just with all of us, you know, throughout all of our days.
Yeah. And Candace, you really do radiate love. Like, I can feel it. I definitely can feel it. Shout out to our girl on fire of the day, who's Diamond. And thank you so much for joining us for Love Girls, the podcast, because every girl has a story. Until next time, be brave.